Good morning and welcome to everyone here. Can you all hear me? If you can't, just move your hands up and down and let me know. It needs to be louder, and that's fine. And welcome to everyone here and to those who are watching the recording as well. Now, we don't have many notices, but we do have one that I'm going to ask David to come up and talk about, please.
Following on from last week, I bought some books called Your Verdict on the Empty Tomb, which is a wonderful book. I had the privilege of listening to this guy many years ago, and it's one of the best books I know on evidence for the resurrection. And if you'd like a copy for yourself or to give to someone else, there's a pile of them outside. And secondly, a few weeks ago we had the deacons had an email from Mark, get the name right, Mark and Louise Davis, asking about calling the church to pray and fast. And the deacons, I think, without exception, all agree this is a brilliant idea. But we've asked Mark if he'd be kind enough to come and speak to us. So thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you. Morning, family. When Louise and I first came here, 7 months since we moved here, believe it or not, we were really struck about what a praying church, Paignton Baptist, is. Really struck us. You know, and it's a great spiritual discipline to know the power of prayer. And, you know, our belief is that prayer in Old and New Testament, you know, is often, as a discipline, it's often paired with fasting. You know, fasting when it is often paired with prayer when God's people are seeking wisdom, when they're seeking strength, when they're seeking power and help. It's them seeking God. It's an expression of a really deep need for God, you know, a need that's even greater than the things that sustain us every day, like food, drink, for example. I'm sure, you know, many, no doubt all of us have been praying for Stephen's health situation, for Stephen and Leslie. And this is a battleground. Let's be really honest and clear about that. It's a battleground of great significance to him, of course, and Leslie, but I believe it's of significance to God's kingdom as well. Some good news. God always wins. Do we believe that?
Yeah.
God always wins. And Louise and I felt very strongly that the time is now that we dial up our prayer discipline. To corporately, we can do this individually, but there's a corporate expression of our love and support for Stephen, for Leslie, in seeking God's power in this situation. And it's with the diaconate that we would like to call the church family to a time of prayer and fasting. Our suggestion, for starters, is that we take Tuesdays in June. So we would ask that you join us in fasting every Tuesday through June. There's no fixed model for this. There's no prescription about it. It's right that often in Scripture it is about food, but food might not always be appropriate. Other things sustain us. You know, some have a caffeine habit, which I have actually fasted from caffeine before. But you know, we'll send an email out with some guidance about it, and you know, some help and advice. It's really important that we go into this with the right mindset. This is not about twisting God's arm. You know, it's not about you know, getting him to intervene in a situation because we do something. Rather, it's about, you know, training ourselves to be more receptive to the Holy Spirit's leading and prompting, and therefore his guidance and power in our prayers. It's about helping us walk with a greater conviction of the outcome that God has promised. So will you join us? You know, will you see with us God's victory? We don't always understand victory as God defines it, but God has won. Just lastly, and I just read this in my sort of devotions this morning, and it just seemed to be so appropriate. It's David's words in Psalm 60, which he closes by saying, "Give us aid against the enemy, for human help is worthless. With God we shall gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemies." Amen.
I think on that very matter that we need to just spend a little bit of time in silent prayer. So let's come before God to pray for Stephen, Leslie and their family. Let's just have a bit of silence. Lord, thank you that you have heard every prayer from our hearts, and that we can leave those prayers with you now for you to act in whatever way you will. Amen. You know, in Psalm 68, God says, "I will give you strength. I will give you strength." And yesterday we had the displays, and we're having them today, and the really courageous pilots, all sorts of amazing things, are going to be flying through the air. But you know, when you look at a heron, when you look at a seagull, not sure about the seagull, but seagull, when you look at a swallow, you say, "Wow, they are very beautiful and they're complex. And who made them? God, our creator." And one of the wonderful things I love about God's economy is, you know, God is not controllable. We all learn that as we go along. God is not controllable. However, there is something in prayer that actually God has given to us. And one of the wonderful things, I think, is that God actually asks us to ask him, the Creator, to help us worship him. And that seems crazy to us, but that's actually true. So let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God, you are worthy of all worship. You even help us to worship. You are worthy of all our praise. You are full of love, and full of love for us and every single person in this world. You tell us that in you we find strength, we find courage. You are our one true foundation. Lord, bless us today with your Holy Spirit, that we may mightily worship you with passion and sincerity, and that we may glorify you and glorify our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. In Chronicles, we hear this wonderful advice, and sometimes we don't want it. When we're in a darker place, we don't want to do this. But if we do, it raises our spirits. And so we hear the advice, sing to God, sing praise to him. So I'm going to ask you to stand or sit, whichever is the most comfortable for you, and we're going to sing to God. And our first song is All Heaven Declares, and that's Mission Praise 14.
Oh, upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee. Worship him alone. I will proclaim the glory of the risen Lord, who once was slain to reconcile man to God. Forever you will be the Lamb upon the throne. Gladly bow the knee and worship you alone.
Well, we'll continue our worship with Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Past dead things, he has done great things, he has done great things, bless his Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He has done great things, he has done great things, he has done great things, bless his holy name.
We're going to sing another song and praise the Lord. And I'm going to say to you, I run a sing group and we all sound dreadful, okay? It's a group like that. But the one thing that we've learned to do is to sing out loud and to really express. So even though this may not be the songs, the music you know, sing out loud and God will hear. And that is fabulous. We're going to sing and come down a bit. We're going to sing Such Love, Pure as the Whitest Snow.
Such love. Love, bring me home.
Loving God, what can we say to you? Jesus knew from the very beginning that he was coming for us, that he would suffer and he would die. But then he would rise again and produce such a way of being saved and in a close relationship with you. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We want more of you.
Yes, sir.
Hear our prayers now.
Yes, Lord God. Bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you that your love streams from eternity. It's an endless source of love for us.
Thank you, Lord, that wherever we are and whatever we're doing, you are always by our side. We thank you for traveling mercies. We thank you for our new baby grandson, the great grandson that we have. We have so much to thank you for. And Lord, we want to thank you in future for Stephen's healing.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Just bless them.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless them.
Thank you, Lord.
Just bless them.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Bless you, Lord.
Sometimes we become so hungry for God. And the psalmist was very hungry for God. And he wrote the next song, the first line of the next song, "As the deer pants for the water." Let's sing.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul holds out to you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are the heart's desire, and I love friend, and you're my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. You alone are my spirit yield. You desire, and I long to worship you.
Please sit down. You know, we normally respond to God in our offering and through our offering, but this is not obligatory. So if you're a visitor here, or if you're a church member or a church visitor, You are not obliged. We do this to worship God, so the offering will now be collected. Let us pray. El Shaddai, you give us so much, and we give you back these our offerings, as well as much of our life as we possibly can. We ask you that you would bless these offerings, you would multiply them, so that actually they increase your kingdom here on earth. Thank you, Lord, that we know that you will bless them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we all say Amen. Thank you. Well, now we sing of something that we all desire. Do you desire more of the Holy Spirit? I desire more of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to sing, O Breath of Life Come Sweeping Through Us. That's Mission Praise 488. And as we do so, you can either choose to sit down or stand up. The choice is yours.
Restore for this we pray.
to spread the light.
Please sit down. As we come before God now to partake in this most sacred meal, God has put one thing on my heart, and that is that for a minute, if you have something that you want God to forgive, now is the moment to ask. We ask in the total confidence that God will forgive us through Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Lord, as we approach your table now and partake in this most sacred meal, you know what we want forgiving. You know when we've gone our own way and followed our own path and ended up in all sorts of messes. You know our thoughts, you know our hearts, you know our good and bad. So, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name, because of what he did on the cross, forgive our sins now. Wash them clean. Help us, Lord, to be built up by your table of sacred, wonderful things that you specifically designed for us. Bless them, Lord, these elements of Holy Communion, and work through them. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Andrew is going to lead us in prayer again.
Lord Jesus, as we come now to take bread and wine, we do it because you've said, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus, remember that while we were sinners, you came, you took the punishment that we should have had for our sins, you took them upon yourself, that we might have life, life in its full fullness. By the shedding of your blood, it cleanses us from all our sin, that we might enter into your presence, clothed afresh in righteousness, because of your love you have for us. Jesus, as we gather, we say thank you, but that seems so inadequate for all that you went through for us. But this morning we come again and just say, Jesus, thank you for that love you had for us. Amen.
It is Jesus who invites us to this table to take this meal. This is an open table, and it has been blessed. For on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he shared a meal with his friends. He took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and said, this is my body, broken for you. When you eat of this, remember me. Later in the meal, he took a cup of wine and said, this is the new covenant, sealed by my blood. Every time you take of this, remember me. So when we eat this, the body of Christ, we remember Christ. When we drink this, we remember the new covenant that Christ gained for us. So we're going to follow Jesus' example now, but I will ask for the other server to come up, who is, I have no idea. Anyone want to help me? There you go. Body of Christ, broken for you. Body of Christ, broken for you. Body of Christ, broken for you. Gluten free. The new covenant sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the children are now going to go out. And before they go, they're going with Angela and Dawn, I think, wherever I can find Angela. Not sure where Dawn is. Oh, there you are. And before they go out, shall we bless them? Ask God to bless them. Lord, thank you for the children. Bless them that they may know that they are truly loved by you and also by us. We ask that you would bless Angela and Dawn and that they too would know themselves valued deeply by you. Give them all fun, please, Lord. build them up in your name. We pray. Amen. Well, children, off you go now and have some more fun. Gilly is now going to read the word for us.
Today's reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and can be found on page 1157 in the Bibles. Now about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you for a while, or even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey. Wherever I go, for I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit, I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. When Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord, just as I am. No one then should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace, so that he may return to me. I am expecting him here along with the brothers. Now about our brother Apollos, I strongly urge him to go with you to the brothers. He is quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labours at it. I was glad that Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. All the brothers and sisters here send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. If anyone does not love the Lord, let that person be cursed. Come, Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all you in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
So, we've been exploring Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth under the title God's Wisdom in an Age of Foolishness. And there was a lot of foolishness in both the Corinthian church and the society in which they lived. And the same applies here and now. And that's why we can learn things from this letter. Paul reminded them not to look to particular leaders and create parties around them, whether it's Paul or Peter or Apollos, but to focus on Jesus and him crucified. The foolishness of God revealed by the Holy Spirit, confounding the wisdom of this age. He taught them to build well on the foundation of the gospel, being careful how they live, thinking of others before themselves, have nothing to do with sexual immorality or idolatry, judging those That's what they need to do, who are inside the church, but not judging those outside the church. Paul taught about singleness and marriage, the sacredness of the Lord's Supper, and the supremacy of love, the most excellent way. He gave specific instructions to desire, seek, and use spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ and as a witness to unbelievers, and that everything should be done in worship in a fitting and orderly way that truly brings glory to God. And then finally, last week, we heard about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is alive, that we are lost without it. We're lost if it's not true. But if it is true, because it's true, we have in Christ a sure and certain hope of eternal life in heaven and the forgiveness of sins now and true freedom in Christ now. Now, in some ways, you might think, well, that's it. That's the high point of the letter. That would be a good place to finish, wouldn't it? It's good to finish on a high. And last week was, yes. And you, as David says, you can read more about it. Those books are on the table. The fact that Jesus did indeed rise from the dead. But this is Paul. And Paul is a pastor. And Paul has a heart for real people in a real church. Flawed, but loved by God. It was wonderful what Diane just said. We are all dearly loved. It's a wonderful thing. So Paul expresses God's heart. And we've heard from the reading we've just had how Paul finished his letter by directly addressing the church, talking about specific people, practical things, and also writing in his own hand, because he was dictating to somebody who wrote these letters down in the main. But at the very end, often, you'll see it there, look, I write this in my own hand. In other words, you really need to pay attention to this. So, I wonder what you heard. Most of you have probably put your Bibles away now. It's a very bad habit. You need to keep your Bibles open because you're not going to remember what Jilly just read to you, are you? I don't remember. I have to write everything down. So, I'm not telling you what to do, really, but it's a good idea to have your Bible open so you can hear what God is saying. What did you hear? I'm not asking you to tell me, but you heard that reading. Maybe you were thinking about, oh, I can't wait to get down to the beach, or I wonder how the children are getting on, whether they're having more fun than I am. I don't know what you were thinking, but let's listen to what God is saying by his Spirit. The first thing that Paul said was, get organized in your giving. The Christians in Jerusalem and Judea, the area around Jerusalem, mainly Jews, are suffering terrific persecution. And Paul, wherever he goes, it's really mainly in sort of modern-day Turkey was where he was planting churches, but he's making a collection, taking up a collection from those churches so that it can be given to the Christians, their brothers and sisters, in Jerusalem and Judea. He wants to send that money off with representatives of their choosing, or perhaps he'll go himself as well. But he doesn't want to run around getting a collection together when he arrives at Corinth. He wants them to have already made arrangements. He'll have other things to do. So he gives them very practical instructions on what to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up, so when I come, no collection will have to be made. It wouldn't be any good, Andrew, at the end of the financial year, saying, right, I've not paid any bills all year, we owe a huge amount of money. Can we have a quick whip round? That wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. So be organized in your giving. It's giving freely. God loves a generous giver. And we can choose to give freely. There is some giving guidance notes on the vestibule table. If you want to know how to give, and Andrew can always help you. But the idea of giving regularly, giving to God. Some people tithe. Some people who are very wealthy give 90% of their income away. And keep 10%. So there's no rule. But it's a good thing to say to God, yes, first of all, I'm giving to you out of that which you've given to me. We could always testify, Leslie and I, of how God has provided for us year after year after year, and I'm sure many of you can as well, by giving to him first. Second thing that comes through this letter is Paul loves these people. Despite their errors, their disastrous sinfulness, their foolishness. I mean, people have died in Corinth because of their sinfulness, because of their foolishness. But Paul loves them. And he said, I don't want to come and just make a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you. He wants to spend time with this church. When you look back at what they've done to him, what they've said about him, how they've been mistreating him, it is an amazing act of grace that Paul wants to spend time with this church. It'd be so much easier to wash his hands of them. And it's a miracle on God's part. It's a miracle that we can love those who mistreat us. But it's possible. It's what Jesus did. And with his agape love, we can do the same. I wonder, and again, you don't have to put your hands up, but you don't have to say yes, but do we love our church family? God does. God loves us. Our church meeting on Tuesday was a beautiful occasion. It was full of love and laughter. I love church meetings. I know I'm weird, but I love church meetings. Because it's where God is and activity is and people coming together to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to discern the mind of Christ and to say, yes, we're part of God's plan. You know that song we sing, Our God is a Great Big God? How wonderful to be a part of his amazing plans. Who's pleased to be part of God's amazing plan? Yes! Good. For those on who are listening, that's everybody, I think. We want to be part of God's amazing plan. God loves us, and Paul loves this church. And we can use Paul as an example when things are not going so well. Do we bear with one another? Put up with another? Forgive one another? Honor one another, wash one another's feet. Do we do everything in love by the power of the Holy Spirit? It's very humbling for Mark, Louise, the deacons, to call the church to pray for Leslie and I. We are humbled every day because we are hearing of so many people praying. God has for some reason, raised our profile so we could be prayed for, so glory will go to him when the miracle comes. Now, I have a suspicion, and Leslie won't like this, I have a suspicion that God's plan is this is what he's been waiting for. The call we had earlier this morning. It's very frustrating and very painful and very difficult for Leslie in particular, because I'm a sort of glass half full person, a glass half empty person. And so I don't have to suffer the fear of losing me. But Leslie does. And it's been very difficult. But I wonder, whether this is what God has been waiting for. Say, yeah, I'm going to do it. It's all done. It's sorted. He declares the end from the beginning, we were told in one of our readings earlier this week. So he's already said, I'm going to be healed. But I wonder whether he's been waiting for more people to hear the story. Even yesterday, we were telling people, not Christians, of what God is doing. I wonder if this is what he's been waiting for. But it's very humbling to be prayed for and be loved by so many. And we will do our best to love and pray for you. And this is what's great about being in a church family. Next thing, God's timing is perfect and needs to be surrendered to. We might be all right with the first one, because Suzanne is always saying, God's timing is always perfect. Yes, but do we have to like it? God's timing is perfect and needs to be surrendered to. Paul has a great door for effective work in Ephesus, in, say, modern-day Turkey, Western side. He's got a great door for evangelism, for people coming to faith, opened up to him by God, and he needs to make the most of it despite many who are opposing him. He says, great, this is brilliant. I've got loads of people having a go, and the gospel is growing. So I'm not coming yet. I really want to, but I'm not coming yet. I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost and then come to you if the Lord permits. Paul's not making a plan and saying, I'm in charge. He's saying humbly, God, you've shown me I need to stay here, and then I'd like to go there after Pentecost if that is what fits with your will. Paul is completely surrendered to the will of God. And you can be honest here inside you. How do you feel about surrendering to God's will when it's not so easy and good and pleasant? Do you surrender to God's will? A scripture that you may have heard of before, and it keeps on coming back to us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Exactly. That's how we have to live. God's timing is perfect. It truly is. And the sooner we surrender to it, the more at peace we'll be. Now then, the next thing Paul addresses is there's a slight problem the Corinthians have. They don't like submitting to God's approved leaders. I don't think they like submitting to God really either, but they certainly didn't like submitting to God's approved leaders. Paul knows what these people are like very well. He loves them, but he knows what they're like. He knows how badly they treat leaders. And so he gives them a really stern warning. I don't know if you've heard it as you heard. We're going to read it again. When Timothy comes, who is the pastor that he appointed to look after the church in Ephesus, but Timothy is coming to the church in Corinth. And Paul says, when Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you. For he is carrying out the work of the Lord, just as I am. No one then should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. Paul's saying he's coming back to me and I'll see what state he's in after you finish with him. Should he have something to fear? Should a preacher, a leader, going to a church be afraid of the church? Many are. You should hear the stories we hear of ministers and what their churches put them through. It's just amazing. So the Corinthians, Paul knows exactly what they're like. And he says, I want Timothy to come back happy or at least not beaten up. So don't treat him with contempt. Make sure he has nothing to fear. Paul has also strongly urged his fellow leader, Apollos, to go to them. And Apollos, he says, was quite unwilling to go. That's what it says. Now about our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. So obviously the brothers have turned up, but not Apollos with them. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. I wonder why Apollos didn't want to go to Corinth. I wonder. Maybe it was because he's an evangelist and he saw all the wonderful opportunities in Ephesus and thought, great, this is brilliant. I want to stay here. Maybe. Or maybe he didn't want to go to Corinth because he feared some would give him hero worship, the Apollos party, the people who thought Apollos was great. And there'd be others who would treat him with contempt. You're not Paul. You're not Peter. You're not Jesus. And so on. We don't know. But he says, Apollos, look after him as well. And then Paul also urges the church to submit. That word again, it's interesting, isn't it? Submit three times. Submit to the household of Stephanas, to Fortunatus and Achaicus. All of these men are laboring in the work of the kingdom, refreshing Paul and refreshing the church in Corinth. And so they deserve recognition. And the Corinthians obviously needed to be told, look after them as well. So I wonder, how are we on the matter of submission to God's appointed and anointed leaders? How do we do that? How do we feel about all that? From my personal point of view, I think you're wonderful. I think your submission to leaders, your honoring leaders, is wonderful. I just want you to look around and see the leaders that God has given to us, who've come into the church recently, that you listen to and honor. This is Diane's first time of leading a service. Who's the retired Church of Scotland minister. We have over here Philip and Pauline, retired Methodist minister and Methodist lay preacher. We've got Mark and Louise, who've been leaders of a church for 15 years in Marlow. And I could go on. And in every case, I'm sure they'll nod at me, you feel welcomed and respected and honored for who you are. Not just for your leadership abilities, but who you are. And it's a ball, isn't it? It's great. In our previous church, we had lots of retired ministers. And Leslie said to me, you should be honored. Retired, I mean, David Redaway and Valerie here as well. Sorry, I forgot about you. You're behind the screen, David. A retired Baptist minister, best of the lot. No, it's not true. It's an honor, isn't it? That leaders say, we want to be here. Because this is the place where the gospel's preached. This is the place where people are praying. This is people where people are honored, regardless of how long they've been a Christian. So, guys, thank you for coming and staying. Those of you who have leadership experience, because God has brought you at this time. It's no surprise that half the leadership, if not more, of our four new discipleship groups are all new to the church. I said to a number of people, you don't normally, as a pastor, let brand new people take charge of discipleship groups. Because in your insecurity, you'd think, oh no, these people will run riot and set up power bases and so on, and I'll be ousted. No, I trust every one of you. And the church trusts every one of you. And that's the way to blessing. So no leader has anything to fear coming here, or they won't be treated with contempt coming here, will they? They'll be welcomed and loved and listened to. Hallelujah. Our scripture for the year says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. So do we listen to one another? Not just leaders. Listen to everybody. We can all teach and admonish one another. Do we allow ourselves to be instructed and corrected, as well as being loved and inspired? I should have spoken to you about fasting a long time ago. And that's my, I'm sorry about that. I apologize for that. So I've been admonished by somebody coming and saying, come on, we ought to do this. Dee did it as soon as she became a deacon. Said, what about prayer and fasting? And every time God said about fasting, I'm not very keen on fasting. So finally we got there. And interesting enough, at Christine's funeral, Grace's mum's funeral, a group of guys came from Reading. And they were here, they sensed the Holy Spirit here. And they said, do you realize you could have as much as you want of God and the kingdom? Will you pray? Will you fast? Will you be go for God? Because you can have as much of God and the kingdom as you want. And that was a year and a half or more ago. So let's go for it. Whatever God speaks to us through whoever he speaks to us, let's listen. And then we come to the central instruction. The one that it's on the website. I put it on the website as the thought for the week. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. That's a memory verse, isn't it? Paul's Christianity is not a marshmallow Christianity. Our grandchildren came up yesterday with their parents, used our drive as a car park so they could see the air show. And to keep them going, because they'd been going all day without a lot to eat, they gave them marshmallows in the car to get them home before they had a proper meal. I ask you, who brought them up? Anyway, they love their soft, fluffy, sweet marshmallows. Is that the type of Christianity we were taught or we want? Paul's Christianity is nothing like that. He knows what it is to suffer terribly for the gospel and to be rejected by those who should receive him. He has been hurt, stoned even, left for dead. He's been shipwrecked 3 times by the end of the Acts. His call to do everything in love, like him, requires the Corinthians and us to be like him, to be on their guard, to stand firm, to be courageous and strong. You can't do everything in love, that agape, unconditional love of Jesus, the same love that took Jesus to the cross. You can't do that without being on your guard against division, gossip, and criticism, by standing firm in the faith, grounded in God's word. We will need to be strong and courageous. And this strength and courage comes from God through the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that has really struck me over the last few years, when Jesus says, don't be afraid, you've heard me say this before, it's not nagging, don't you be afraid, it's be not afraid. I'm conveying to you not afraidness. You see the difference? So I believe Paul, through God, through Paul, is saying, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. He's conveying right now, if your hearts are open to it, his courage. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. We can receive that strength and courage and encouragement from one another and from him as we take communion, as we hear his word, as we worship, as we look at the beauty of creation. We can receive all these things. And then final greetings. The churches in the province of Asia love you. Corinth. Priscilla and Aquila, who started the Corinthian church in their home, they love you. All the brothers and sisters in Ephesus love you. Now you love one another and love the Lord. or let a curse be on you. That doesn't sound very good. Did you notice that? If anyone does not love the Lord, let that person be cursed. It's a bit strong. Paul is writing this in his own hand. So there can be no missing this. We need to love the Lord. It's marshmallow Christianity not to tell the people out there they need to love the Lord. Yes, God will meet their needs, but they need to love the Lord. They need to repent and believe and love Him, which means to do the to obey Him. Jesus said, this is love of God, to obey His commands. There's no soft Christianity here. There shouldn't be, and certainly not out there. We need to tell people to obey God. That won't win us many friends, but it might save a few souls. There's always grace and love as well. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. There's this wonderful combination of sternness as a father that he needs to be to this church, as the apostle who has authority over them. It's a wonderful sternness to warn them, but there's also such a deep love for them. And so what is the Lord's word for you? If this was our church, what would be the final greeting that would be written to us? What is the word you would need to hear? How are you to love Jesus? How are you to love other people? Whose love do you need to receive? The Lord's, but other people's. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us as a church and to us as individuals. And yes, Lord, be stern with us where we need you to be stern. Be clear and firm. And also, Lord, may we hear how much you love us. And everything we do be motivated by love. Lord, we do thank you for our leaders in various different fields within the church life, for our deacons. We thank you, Lord, for those that you speak through, which we know is everybody. Lord, may we as a church continue to listen to your voice, to obey your voice, and that we will be on our guard. We will stand firm in the faith. We will be courageous. We will be strong. And we will do everything in love by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
As we've heard. So we're going to remind ourselves that this is what God is doing, and we're going to sing, "For I'm Building a People of Power," Mission Praise 151.
Through the sun.
Well, the truth is that through Jesus Christ, we are new creations. And so we're going to sing about that now, and that's Mission Praise 254. The blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you now and forevermore. And we all say together, Amen. God bless. Thank you.